But Akshay Kevan is basically in Hilkis Pesach.
Right. But here we have Tefillas Kevan. Okay. Yeah. So Kelim Chadoshim Min Akum Alokeach. Yeah, we'll start from the beginning. We'll just get into it. Right, Halokeach. Kelim Hanilkochim Min Akum Alokeach. Kelim Chadoshim Min Akum. Also, Lishtamish Ben Achi Adbilem Tvila Hogenes Belo Chatzitza Bemikvah Shal Arboim Sa. So what my goal for tonight would be to sort of just outline some of the most fundamental issues of Tefillas Kelim. We're not going to get into all the details.
You read for the tour.
Oh, you have a tour?
No.
Oh, I have the tour. Oh, okay. So I took the wrong one. Okay, hang in there. Just get the... Oh, wait a minute. You know what? I think the Shulchan Aruch is in the same volume. Just give me a second here. Yeah, it says Tour Bishul Chanorach. Oh, here it is. Okay. See, I'm used to the Friedman, but my Friedman doesn't go up to Kuf Chav. So that's why I borrowed this one. Okay. What does it say here? Hakone mea ove kochavim klei suda shal matechos o shal schuchis. There are a lot of different parts here to this halacha, but let's just skip a little bit to get to the punchline here. Tzarech ladbilam b'mikvah o mayan shal arboim sa. So the number of different conditions that have to be met in order for the chiyuv of Tefillas Kelim to be chal. Okay, the first condition is that it was owned by an akum. The second condition is that it was purchased by Yisrael. So it went from one rishus to another, rishus akum to rishus Yisrael. The third condition is got to be klei suda. The fourth condition is that it has to be made of a certain material, either mateches or zchuchis, and we'll see later on that mateches is doraisa, zchuchis is drabanan. And that's the entire scope, sort of, see, a picture of the din. So I wanted, as a way of introduction, I have this sefer, I don't know if you're familiar with, Rav Tzvi Cohen, Tefillas Kelim. And what I did was I made a list of a few different topics that he talks about that I thought were interesting, just to give us some of the yisodos of Tefillas Kelim. So I'm going to start on page Chav Zayin. I'm just picking out what I think are the outstanding points that he makes. And what he has here is a section called Makar Ledin Tefillas Kelim. So what's the source for the Chiv of Tefillas Kelim? So first he quotes a parasha here in Bamidbar, Perek Lamed Aleph, and these are the psukim of what's called Klei Midjan, correct. And what's fascinating here is that what the Torah sort of combined together, we mentioned the last time we spoke about Tefillas Kelim, is two different halachas. One is the requirement of Kol Asher Yovo Be'esh Tavir Be'esh, or Kol Asher Lo Yovo Be'esh Tavir B'mayim, what we call Hefshek Kelim. And at the same time, interwoven in the very fabric of this parasha is V'toyer B'mei Nido Yischata, is Taras Kelim or Tefillas Kelim. Now, he says the following. He says, Nechleku ha-mefarshim me'eze drasha b'psukim yalfinan tefillas kelim. He says the following. If you're talking about kelim that you use over the fire, or Right, so that's pretty explicit in the pasuk, correct? But what about kelim chadashim that weren't used over the fire? So Rashi says, kol asher yavo ba'esh means it could be used over the fire. It doesn't mean that it was, in fact, used over the fire. And he says that kol dover she'ein tashmisho al yedei ha'esh, kigon kosos she'tashmisho al bitzonein. Well, in other words, now we're talking about kelim, although they weren't used over the fire.
They could have been.
But what he says, what do we do with kelim that, as a general rule, we use them bitzonein? So Rashi says, it doesn't matter, because since it says in the pasuk, taviru b'mayim, the taviru b'mayim, he says, is coming to tell us that you have to put it into the mikvah, tatbiluhu, even though it's never used al yedei ha'esh, simply because I purchased it from a goy. That's Rashi. Avlo Ramban, bepirush al ha'Torah, hiksha al Rashi. He's not happy with Rashi. He says, eino nochem b'enai, she'ein loshon ta'aviru. Rashi understands that the word ta'avir in this pasuk is tvila. Hoya omer taviu b'mayim. Hu lashon tefila, but not ya'aviru or ta'aviru b'mayim. And therefore he suggests that ta'aviru b'mayim is a reference not to the mikvah, to the tefila, but rather to hagola. And again, it comes under the halacha of hechsher kelim, not tefilas kelim. And he quotes various psukim to prove that Taviru b'mayim as opposed to, I'm sorry, that Taviru b'mayim as opposed to Taviru b'mayim is a Lashon Tevila. But Taviru b'mayim is not a Lashon Tevila. Taviru b'mayim is a Lashon Tevila. He says furthermore, Af ha-kelim she-tashmishem b'tzonim, tzrichim hechshem in ha-isur. He says that Rashi was avoiding Taviru b'mayim as hechsher kelim because if it doesn't come in contact with hot water, it doesn't need hechsher kelim. Says the Ramban, that's not true. There are certain situations in which even a kelim that's tashmisha b'tzonein, it needs hechsher min ha'isur. He doesn't go into detail, but perhaps maybe it was kavush. Yeah. He says the following. He says, "Kshalamdu chachamim tefila zu lo eskira bar mikra zeh." You'll never find that the Chachamim, when they derive from this parasha Tevila, that they quote this pasuk Taviru b'mayim. El Darshu, they derive it from a different pasuk. Ach meini da yischata mayim shanida tovelas mahem. And therefore, the Ramban maintains that Taviru b'mayim is a reference not to Tevilas kelim, and the mayim here is not the main mikvah, but mayim that has to remove any sort of isur if it was used b'mayim. V'lo hutzrach hakosuv shezuach sherim min ha'isur, and v'loshan ha'sifri taviru b'mayim mipnei gi'ule nochrim. So the sifri is being quoted by the Ramban as a proof that taviru b'mayim is not referring to tevila, but rather to hechsher kelim, because it says in the Sifri that it's a reference to Giule Ha'akum. Giule means the Blias Iser in the Akum. He says, why would the Torah have to add Tavir B'mayim to tell you about Tefila? The Torah has already told you about Tefila when it says, Ach B'mei Nida Yischato. So that's what he says. He has a footnote here. He says that af ha-meforshim de tavir b'mayim hu hechsher kelim me'a isurim, yeshe pirshu dekoi al klisha tashmisho beroschim. Not the way the Ramban says that it's even a kosos that are used b'tzonein. In other words, they're reading the pasuk in Chumash the following way. They're saying that when it says kol asher lo yovo ba'esh taviru b'mayim, it's talking about lo yovo ba'esh directly with fire, but it's coming through roschim, through mayim, Mayim Rosk.
But not everybody learns that it's the erase of Tfilas Kelim.
Right, right. I think we'll get to that in a minute. But first, I want to add one thing to this discussion. He has here an interesting discussion that I wanted to call your attention to. He says, Kelim l'shimush chad pa'ami. Okay, so we're talking about disposable kelim. And he writes that there's a tshuva from the Minchas Yitzchak, right? That's what they call the Grivid, right? Revise. And he based himself on a sefer before him called the Gidulei Tahara. I'm not familiar with Gidulei Tahara. And he says the following, that these kelim, the Havi Tashmish Aroi, Enom Nechshovim ke Kli Tashmish. Kli Tashmish means something that's designated for constant use. But if something is only used on a temporary basis, that's not a Kli Tashmish. The Afal Gav, the Kaimelon, the Afilu Tashmish Aroi, Osir Belo Tfila. Even though if you use it on a temporary basis, yeah, it doesn't matter, you need Tfila. Hainu Hecha Doroi L'Tashmish Keva. I mean, the Kli itself is a, I think he's setting up like a Tzvei Dinim here. Now, there's one issue about Aroi is in the Maisa, you know, the Shimush. The other is in the Kli itself, the nature of the Kli. He says, what you definitely need is a Kli Aroi L'Tashmish Keva. But these Kelim Chad Pamiyim are not Re'uyim L'Tashmish Keva.
And if you were to use it, reuse it?
Oh, so that's the, we used to call this the broiler foils. You remember those things?
Yeah.
So what happens? I know
stuff that people,
right,
they wash it out and they use it.
They
again.
Use it again. Let's say, you know, reminds me of the yardside candles, you know, way back when. So the poskim are going to deal with that. I'm not sure if it's in this paragraph, and they're going to say that you don't need tefillah in that case.
Right.
Now, why not? He's saying it you don't need tefillah because the kli is not royal atashmish keva. So now you're going to have to add a little bit. It wasn't manufactured as such. But now he gives a second reason to explain why, and this is more fascinating to me, why a kli l'shimush chad pa'mi, you know, these kind of broiler foils and so forth, aluminum pans, why they don't need tefillah. And he says, kevon de'eino makablim tuma. And he quotes a Rambam in Hilchas Kelim, Perkei Halacha Zayin. And the Rambam is talking about a certain kind of kli called a keren. Keren, I guess, is, you know, you take off the, like a shofar kind of thing. Shumishtamish bo umashlicha. And the Rambam says in the fifth Perkei Kelim about this kind of a kli, this keren, eino mekabelis tuma. Vatam, and Ram gives an answer. Why is it not mekabel tuma? To have a kli rak shenasa bo l'tashmish bo l'tashmish bo b'tedirus, avuk shenasa l'ashlicho. That's not called a kli. So what we're saying now is not that the chisaron here is that it's not a kli tashmish, right? Because tashmish means tashmish keva, but it's not a kli at all. And if that be the case, then even if you decide that you want to use it on a regular basis, like in the case of, so you made it into a kli. If you want to make it into a kli through your designation, which you could do, the machshava, you could be miyayed as a kli, that doesn't require tefillah, because then the Jew made it into a kli, not the good. He writes him, Ken kelim elu sheyefshal ashtamish bem, af lefi adchak, chak beiz ol gimel pa'amin, v'eino makablim tuma, is Enom Chayovim B'Tvila. According to this logic, since you use it only once, twice, or up to three times, but not beyond, then it's not Makabel Tuma. The Enom Tzrichim Tvila. Then he writes the following. And this is his own Chiddush, the author of the Sefer of Tzvi Cohen. He writes, Nota Dovar, the Imish Tamish Bopomim Rabos, Igloi Milsa, Dilakli Ovid. And this is fascinating because he's claiming that if you bought the kli and it was sold to you as a temporary use, right, and disposable, and you decide that you want to use it many times, that was your mindset when you bought the kli. Mimela, he says, Kli hazeh, excuse me, domeh l'stam kli. Now you've purchased it as a classical kli. Uboy tvila kodem sheyuchal l'shtamish bo. V'afilu b'tam rishona. Because sof kasof, ein kan chiluk b'neyem. He says that once you decide that you're buying it for the purpose of using it on a regular basis, on a permanent basis, then it has the same status as any other kli. You know, he's putting the emphasis not on the mocher or the manufacturer, but rather on the kona. And that I thought was very interesting.
So,
yeah.
The question is that you are the one who's kuveya what it is. So it shouldn't, it's not like you're conan from a guy, you're
right.
Creating it.
That's why I think this is a big chiddush. I'd be more inclined to think that once you decide to use it on a permanent basis, you've made it into a kli, that's the Yisrael HaKona,
mm-hmm.
And therefore it's not a kli b'yad akel. He has a reference here to a journal called Kovetz Hamar. Do you remember Kovetz Hamar?
More,
I think it was Rabbi Amzel, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
I got stuck in something stuck in my throat. So what does it say there? He says that with regard to Koshal Kiddush and Etilas Yadayim, you cannot use a disposable kli. Why? Because it doesn't have a shame kli. Meaning, according to his understanding, since the Rambam says that this kli that's litashmish arah, you use it once, twice, or thrice, and then you throw it out, is not a kli as far as Kabbalah's tuma is concerned, is kevan de eno makabal tuma.
That just happened to me. I'm coming from having some dinner, and the natlah wasn't there. So in place of the natlah, they had one of these plastic disposable cups. So I used that.
Right.
But that's exactly what he's talking about.
Right. So I'll tell you the truth. I'm not sure that the Rambam means that it's not a kli. The Rambam says it's not a kli l'inyan kabbalas tumah, as there are conditions that apply to kabbalas tumah above and beyond the shame kli. For example, in the army, what they do is, and this you'll see in the, you know, all the places where they wash, you know, for the suitor, what they do is they take a, you know, after they took out all the peas or whatever was in the tzatzenet, the kufsa,
yeah.
they hang it up, you know, on the thing, you know, attached to a string, and they use it for the tilas yadayim. He's saying that it doesn't have a shame kli. And I was wondering, because that could have tremendous repercussions, not only for Netilas Yadayim and Kiddush, it could have further repercussions, because the Rashba is famous for saying that the reason why the Gemara mentions at the beginning of Kiddushin that Chalipin, which we call Vesholaf, you need a Kli, and that's why you don't need a Shavu Pruta. That was the whole Kiddush of the Rashba. And the Rashba says, therefore, if let's say, for example, I'm tovea from you two kelim, and you say, well, I owe you one and not the other, which is a mode of the mixas, he says you take a shvua, even if it's not a shavu pruta. Normally we assume a shvua, to generate shvua, you need a shavu pruta. Here he wants to say, because it has a shem kli, that substitutes for the requirement of shavu pruta. So he doesn't mention any of this here, but I think all that is very relevant here, because I would suggest that the halacha that since you throw it out, it's not makabel tumah, that's not a hafkas shem kli, that's a separate gzeres hakos as far as kabbalah's tumah is concerned, but the very fact that you want to use it for once, twice, or three times, that itself gives it a shem kli, and not only that, it can function as a kli. So I don't know. I've seen people who, when it comes to kiddush, they put two cups together. Have you ever seen that? Two plastic cups together, because one inside the other, because then they say it's more permanent, and therefore it might avoid this whole problem.
Emotions about people.
So anyway, you have this whole discussion here that's pretty fascinating. That was the second thing I wanted to call to your attention. And then I found something else which touches on your question before, whether it's Doraisa or Drabonon, and that's here on page Kuf Beis. Oh. May Atoro Midrabonon. He says like this. Kosav ha'or zorua b'avor zora, gzeres ha'kosuv, the osar rachmona lishtamish bahen, bahen means in these kelim, belit vila. And he writes, mevur mitoch ha'dvarim, and he quotes other sources too. He finds it in a Rabbeinu Simcha, he finds it in a Prima Gadim, he's got a whole long list of sources, that the Isar Shtamshus Bekli that needs tvila is in fact Do'oraisa, because his Lashon is Gzeres HaKosuv. Then in the next paragraph, he writes, Das Achronim, there are other Achronim who disagree, the Isar Shtamshus Afil Bekli Matechas, right, that's the emphasis here, because the Kli is Kluchus, everyone agrees Derabonon, Eino Ela Derabonon. And this is based on a Haflah and a Yeshuas Yaakov, but in truth, in the Rishonim, again, we don't have much in the Rishonim, but at least he quotes in Ozeruah and Rabbeinu Simcha, those are Chachmei Ashkenaz, they were of the opinion, Lechora, the way we read it, that it is Doraisa. Oh. Now he asks another question. At what point does this Iser of you know, if you haven't titled it, emerge? And he says the following. He says that from the time that he uses the kli, now it's that very shimush, it's asur. It's
after,
not that...
After that shimush.
No, in other words, when you're about to use the kli, that's when the isur sets in. It's not b'chol rega u rega mishekano. It's not from the moment that you buy it, there's, you know, there's an ongoing demand, an obligation to be tovlit, but rather at the moment that you use it. And he comes to the conclusion, which we mentioned earlier, that you're not allowed to use the kli before tvila. And that would seem to be pretty much the accepted opinion. I'm not sure if it's an Issa Doraisa, because that depends upon, I guess, these two opinions. So he writes, Kelim atunim tvila mutar lashosim v'beisa b'li tvila. You're allowed to keep him in the house. You know, we don't have a din like chavetz that you have to get rid of it. Aval also lishtamish b'hen l'tzorach achila or l'tzorach bishul afilu b'ofen aroi ad shiat vilenu karoi. So that's an interesting point that I think a lot of people are mistaken about this. Then in the footnote, he quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach Shlita, and he writes, the af, the Iser Shtamshus, L'shitas Achronim, the Haflah, etc., is Drabonon. He says, Kol zeh, kishe'ein be'afshar sam shtamish lahatbil bibo l'shtamish, avalim yochol lahatbil mishtamish b'kliv lo tefila hareyu overal esei doraisa. Now this I find very difficult. I don't understand. He's making like a chiluk here. He says the following. If he doesn't have the ability he doesn't have the access to a mikvah, let's say, then he wants to say, according to the flaw, this is also it's derabbanan. But even the flaw would agree that if yachol lahatbil, is it's an Issa Doraisa, for overall essay Doraisa, he says,
Imumishtamish below Tvila. It's contradictory.
It's contradictory. I mean, how can you say on the one hand that if you don't have access to you know, what is the nature of this Issa? If the essay of Vitoer engenders an Issa, and that Issa is Doraisa, then that should apply even if he doesn't have access to a mikvah. Okay, so he won't use the kli. Again, my heart goes out for him, but we're not going to be matir nisa doraisa because he doesn't have access to
a mikvah. There's a way out of it. You make your mafker, and then you use it.
Ah, I see. Okay, fine. Whatever it is. But the logic here doesn't make sense to me. And that's all he has this quote from the Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. So I wanted to say the following. L'fi ani hazdaiti. Maybe what Rav Shlomo Zalman means is that this Iser Lishtavshis Bekli is not an Iser unto itself, you know, a separate Maisa Avera, but rather it's a Bittel Eser. In other words, it's the Chovas Tefillah, the Chovas Tefillah that engenders the Iser Hishtamshus. It's not a separate Iser Hishtamshus, like the Kli is Hegdesh, or it's Echveis, it's also a Neder, I took a Neder. No, it's not an Iser Nechefs of the Kli. It's just that since I have a Mitzvah to be Tovel it, the Mitzvah Saseh creates an Iser to be Mishtamsh without Tefillah, because that Maisa of Shimush is like a Bittel Essay. I'll give you a mashal on my Dover Dome. Let's say we have halacha of Safek Brachos Lahakil, correct? Safek Brachos Lahakil. And the question is, what's going on over here? If Kol HaNenev and Olam HaZeh B'lo Bracha Kilu Ma'al, then why do you apply the principle of Safek Brachos Lahakil? I'm going to violate an Iser Me'ilah. So I want to suggest that the Iser Me'ilah is not in and of itself. The Iser Me'ilah is generated by the Chiyuv Bracha. If Safek Bracha is Lahakim, Paskin said, I don't have a Chiyuv Bracha, his Me'ilah is no Me'ilah. It's not a separate, independent Iser Me'ilah unto itself. Here too, there's no Iser Shimush Bekli, Sheino Tavul, unto itself. We have Vushtet, it doesn't say anything in the Torah about also Lishtarish Bekli. No, of us, the Torah is Machayiv me in a Mitzvah Saseh. And that's very Meduric. He says, overall essay. I think he means overall essay. But Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is saying like this, you can't impose a chiyuv on me if there's no mikvah. Again, I don't know what that means. Let's say there's a mikvah 5 miles from here. But let's say I don't know where I am. I'm on the North Pole. There's no access to a mikvah whatsoever. So then, you can't say that I'm a chiyuv in tefillah, but onus rachmana patri. No, the onus rachmana patri here removes the chiyuv tefillah. In other words, the access to a mikvah is what engenders the chiyuv tefillah. And if there's no access to a mikvah, there's no chiyuv tefillah, the male is no Iser Hishtamshus. That's what I thought I was suggesting. Okay, I'm just throwing out a possibility. Okay, next, I have something very, very interesting to discuss with you. Of what? Which one? Gazirt. Gazirt. Here's the question I want to know. Let's say you have a kli that has a blias iser. It requires either agola or livun, but at the same time, you bought it from a guy and it needs tefillah. Is there a halacha of seder? Does it make one bit of a difference in what sequence I do these two pu'ulos? What is a pu'ul of Hechsher Kalim and what is a pu'ul of Tevilas Kalim? So he has a whole long discussion about this.
Really?
Yeah. And he writes the following. Kalim shenishtamish behem agoy uta'unim libun o hagol v'gam tevila miladnam o magilam kodem ha'tevila. And who does he quote here? He quotes the Torah Shulchan Aruch. So let's see if we find this. He doesn't tell me what's it, if it is. Let's see if we can find it. Oh, here it is. Kuf Chaf Aleph. It's in the next Siman. That's why I didn't find it. He says, Halokef Kalim Yeshanim. Use Kalim. Min Ha'akum. Kider Shenishtamish Fem Ha'akum. Kaku Echshera. Lefichach Halokef Kli Tashmish Yeshanim. Shenishtamish Fem Bitzonon. Etc. And then if Nishtamish Behem Bechabin. This and that. V'acharkach Shotfam B'mayim Umat Vilon. Vehem Utarim. And this he calls the Seder Hechsher Kalim. So the Medayik from the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, which is really based on the Torah, that the Acharkach, that the first thing you should do is to be Machshir the Kli. And then he writes, look how far he goes with this. He says, the Imid Bilam Tchila, he took it to the mikveh before he was Machshir them, Nechluku Aposkim, Im Tzarech Lachso Lat Bilam, Liachar Liban Agol Pamacheres. And in the Brisa in Avodah Zarah it says Magi'ilon Umat Bilon. So these Mefarshim, these Mefarshim are Medayik that the Brisa says Magi'ilon Umat Bilon.
What's the Svarah there?
Oh, so that's what I want to discuss with you. But let me just, I just want to get the facts on the ground. And he says, therefore, Dafka Magilan Malabnan Tchila Viafil Vidievig Lomahani Tvila
First
Kodem Hagol. In other words, that the tefillah itself, that, excuse me, the Heksher Kalim is a Tanai, is the Hagol of the Libun is a Tanai in the tefillah. The Yesh Pirshu, the Lechatchila Tzorach Lahagil Bereshach, but the Evid and Hitvil, Kodem Hagol, Mahani Vein Tzorach Lahagil Shenis. And now he goes through for a whole page telling you who says what. It's like a whole list over here. The first sheet that says it's even the Eved is the Machzor Vitri, the Rashbam, Rabbeinu Yehuda Miparish, and the Smag, and the Smak, and the Mordechai, you know, all listed, the Rosh B'Shem Rashbam, Tur B'Shem Rashba. And then he has a whole list of those who are Mekil B'Eved. He has the Ogur, and Hagos on the Tur, and the Rashba, B'Eved Mahani Imhitbil Tchivu.
Heksher has to come first,
but B'dieved, if you switch around the order, your tefillah is valid. Oh, so now on the next page, in this footnote, he writes the following. He says, Tam asovrim, dahavi ikub afilu b'dieved, ayin b'rishonim shom, I guess in Avodah Zarah and Hayamid days, kevan da tefillah lahachnis esakli l'kedushas macholas Yisrael, the kevan da dayin tzorech heksher, and listen to this. So the only thing that I could say here, you know, bedochak. But again, it's a whole slew of rishonim here, like a who's list amongst Ashkenazic rishonim. The Rashba is the cholik, but perhaps you could say that tvila is a matir. What do I mean? That if the essay of Vatayr engenders an Isra Aseh, meaning that you're not allowed to use the Kli before Tvila, then perhaps what they're saying is that the Matir of Tvila can only be Chal on a Kli that lends itself to this Heter, meaning the Matir is not just to remove one independent Isra, but rather to make the Kli into a Kliya Hamuta b'shimush, hamuta l'suda. If it's not going to be muta l'suda, then the tefillah itself cannot sanctify the kli. That's the language he uses. Lekadesh es hakli, whatever that means. So again, the metaphysics of it, I don't understand what it means to be mekadesh the kli. But what I'm suggesting is, on a more lavdishal level, that the pu'ula of tefillah is a maisa hamatir, and the matir could be chal only on a kli that lends itself to the matir. Otherwise, I think the other shita would say that there are two different isurim. One is an isur machal sasuris, you know, it's got a bli of the veil of trefa, and the other is an isur of tumah, if you want to call it that, or some sort of an isur that requires tefillah. But they're two separate isurim.
Is there anybody who says that you can't have tefillah first? That doesn't make a difference. Forget which comes first. Lo mishanet.
He says the following.
Everybody holds the chatchila for sure, but right, you have to do heksher kalim first.
Everybody on the list that we quoted. But now he has another list. He says, Yesha pirshu diyachol ahakbil kodem agol.
Oh, okay.
And he's got a long list for that. He has the smag in the name of the re. He has the rush.
Meaning it doesn't make any difference.
Yeah. And he says the reason for that is, kevin da hach tvila eina bishvil tuma to lehevi kitovil v'sheretz biyodo.
Yeah.
Tafil kelim chadoshim tzrichim tvila. So it's not, we have no reason to assume that there was tuma over here. There's a sheretz here. Kol zman sheyisratzel l'shtamish bo he doesn't need agola, but he definitely needs tvila. Right, so let's say, for example, he has a kli that was used by a guy, and it has a blias iser in it, but let's say he wants to use a bitzonin, right, so on a temporary basis, so he's going to allow to use a bitzonin, he doesn't need agola, but nevertheless he needs tvila. And the answer is because tvila is an independent matir, or mitzvah, and it has nothing to do with removing the blias iser. A kli chadash or kli yashan that you use b'tzonein is nevertheless needs tvila. So basically, there are two tracks here, and they may overlap in the same kli, but there's no interdependence. One track is a bli of machalos asuras, and the other track is the iser of klei akum, the bilus of an akum. You purchase from a goy, it needs tefillah. And that applies whether or not there is a bli or there's no bli. So it's a separate iser. Therefore, the sequence is irrelevant.
That's right.
Now, here he has a third shita, which I'm not sure I understand. He says the shitas are eshkol v'harayvin. He tells you in each case where to find it. And they hold the following. They say, maybe I misunderstood it. Let me just read it again quickly. I understand. I misread it. When he calls it the third shita, that's the shita that we mentioned before. That it doesn't matter what order you do. The previous two shitas are arguing about b'di'evin, but they both agree that the order is significant. But in any event, the third shita that it's totally independent is also a mechubadika list of rishonim here. The eshkol, the ravid.
That makes more sense.
In the Rashba. Yeah, I think intuitively that makes more sense.
Hold on. Oh, yeah.
That they're two separate matirim. One is a matir, macholos asurus. The other has nothing to do with macholos. It's a brand new kli. There's no issue of macholos asurus, and yet you need tefillah to be matir the iser. Now, what he means by kedusha here, again, this is more of an agadic statement that I wanted to share with you, is I think he means the following. And I want to make two, you know, offer two premises, and the combination of which maybe would explain this kedusha. One comment I want to make is that just like a guy who's miskayer and enters into kedusha still needs tefillah in a mikvah, so the kli that was owned by a guy or created by the guy also needs to enter into a new kind of geiris, a kind of kedusha. That's point number one. Point number two is that Chazal say that now that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, is Shulchan Aruch and all other mechaper. So I was thinking to myself that when you use a kli, it's like a kli sharis. Again, this is just drush, if you will, for a Shabbos drasha. And what it means is that the kli itself is mekadish the ochel. Like we have, for example, the halacha of a salt on the table, right? Because it's like a mizbeach, or you have the halacha that you have to cover the sakin, you know, at the end of the meal. There are various dinim that reflect that the shulchan is like a mizbeach.
Right.
And you can't put something on the mizbeach unless it went into a kli sharis. The kli sharis is mekadesh for the mizbeach. Here too, it's got to go into a kli. So what I'm suggesting is that the process of tefillah is a hiskadshus. And that kiddush is necessary because I want to eat out of the kli. And eating out of the kli requires that the kli itself be kaddish in order to sanctify the food that's within it. Now, I don't know if those two ideas are, shall we say, the same, or that's two separate ideas.
No, they're two separate ideas. The first idea is normally what's presented with Tfilas Keor. That's what I learned years ago. Kedushas Yisrael. But the second one's a beautiful idea.
Yes. The one who says the Kedushas Yisrael idea, I saw once in Ari Kaplan. Have you seen that book? Oh, it's a wonderful, wonderful. You must read it, Rabbi.
Which one?
It's called Waters of Eden.
I've heard of it.
It's very thin, you know, they give it in paperback. Maybe now they have an anthology with all his writing, so I'm sure it's in there. And my favorite of his is God, Man, and Tefillin. I don't know if you've ever seen it. He has a whole section on the three little hairs, if you ever noticed, in the Tefillin Shel Rosh. Beautiful. Absolutely stunning. It's all based on Kabbalah, but the ideas are very accessible. You know. Now, the next thing I wanted to show you is Taka in the Beis Yosef. And we'll see that he passes like this way in the Shulchan Aruch as well. So I'll read to you the Beis Yosef, and if you could look in the Shulchan Aruch, it's number Ches.
Kuf Chaf,
number Ches. And we're going to talk about Hashoel Kli Me'akum, correct? He borrows a Kli from a God. And then we'll talk about someone who borrows a Kli from a Jew. Now, in this Sefer, Tefillas Kelim, with regard to this sif, he writes, Hashoel o socher kli migoy ain otan tefila. Good. So if John Port Joles is renting his kalim to me, I can eat from them without tefila. Okay. Then he says the following. He says, Hashoel o socher kli mi Yehudi is toan tefila. V'chayev ladbilo shekvar nischayev biyad harishon. So what happened here? Reuven bought the kli from John Paul Jones, and now, without taking it to mikvah, he rents it out or lends it to Shimon. So Reuven's the Rishon and Shimon's the Sheni. Reuven is the Mashil, and Shimon is the Shoel, or the Maskil and the Socher. And now Shimon comes and he wants to exercise his rights as a renter or as a borrower, and he's not allowed to do so until he takes the kli to the mikvah. And this you'll see in the tour. I'll just read to you the language of the tour and the Beis Yosef. Yeah, it didn't come out so great, but see if you can make it out. Aval Yisrael, I'm reading the tour in the middle, right? Aval Yisrael shalokach min agoy vishilo lechavero. So we have Reuven who purchased, and then Shimon who borrows it. Asar Hasheni lishtamish bo velo tvila. Kevan shekvar nischayev biyad harishon. That's the tour. Now, if you look on the left, the Beis Yosef says that this tour is based on Tosus and the Rush, and the Smak agrees to this principle. But then he quotes Dagol Sashri. Now, let's read Dagol Sashri as the Beis Yosef quotes him very carefully. Very carefully. He says, Aval im lokho chavero. Okay, let's say chavero means, you know, the issue that we're addressing is Shimon. Shimon wants to know if he can use the kli that he borrowed from his friend. So the word chavero here is referring to Reuven who purchased it from the gun. So im lokho chavero, Reuven who purchased it, did so lachto klofen. He doesn't want to use it as a knife to cut his bread, but rather he wants to cut cards with it. Velo letzarchei suda, ein tzarech ladbilo. Meaning Shimon doesn't have to be makbili. Why? Because Shimon is only
Reuven.
But Reuven for sure doesn't have to be makbili. But the chiddush is that even Shimon doesn't. Why? Because Shimon is bar mikoach rishon and lo nischayev biyad rishon.
Right.
And I underline the next four words. He says, "Sharei Shaul hu biyado." He's referring to Shimon, right? Ad kan lashon. Now, what the Beis Yosef proceeds to do here is, before he makes the diyuk that we made from Nagol Sashri, he tells you what he thought, what he would have thought, and he says, "Hayanira li the Yisrael shakana kli migoy l'schora." Okay, so Reuven bought it for business purposes; has no intention to use it. Imachro liYisrael Acher. Now he sells it to Shimon. Ein hakone tzarech ladbilo. Kevin lo nischayev biyad harishon. It's almost as if the Beis Yosef is saying that the gzeiras hakosav tefila only applies, and you know, it's like engraved in stone at that moment of lekicha. There's only one person on the face of the earth who's relevant to establishing a chalos chiyuv tefila in this kli. It's only the Rishon Reuven who bought it from the guy. Shimon now buys it. I would have said like an etch-a-sketch. We now start from scratch. Forget about Reuven. But Reuven's out of the picture. He sold it to Shimon. Yeah, as long as Reuven's in the picture, so then Shimon is Mikach, Rishon is Reuven. And if Reuven's part, I understand why Shimon's part. But if Shimon went ahead and bought the kli, his kevin shalom is chayav biyad Rishon, harei lo ya omed el l'schora.
Right.
Is the dummy lahadagos ashri v'lochol lachtoch v'lolos l'sarchei suda? What difference to make whether Reuven bought it for purpose of cutting cards with it, or he bought it for purposes of schora? He didn't have any intention whatsoever of eating with it. Oh. Now the word avol. I would have pressed the return button before Aval. It's a whole new paragraph. Because now, the Beis Yosef goes back to read the Dagos HaShri carefully. And he says, Aval mi de Messiahim the last four, you know, last four words of the Golos Hashiva, because of quote, Sharei Shol Hu Biyado. There's no separate din that only the Rishon could be koveya. He and only he could be koveya the chiyuv tefila. So therefore, according to the Beis Yosef, it comes out like this: if Reuven buys a kli from a guy and he has no intention to use it for suda, then will Shimon be chayev or not? It depends. If Shimon purchases it from him, then and Shimon is going to use it for suda, Shimon is chayev in tefila. If Shimon only borrows it from him and he's bar mikach rishon, then he's pot. And this is what I think the mechaber is fasketing here in Shulchan Aruch. He says the following: Sifches, right? Hashoel o socher kli me'ove kochavim eino ton tefila. Well, im Yisrael kano me'ove kochav vishilo lechadero ton tefila shekvar nischayev yad rishon. Then he says, "V'yesh misha omer," which I think is the Argos Shri. She'im lo locha rishon litzor tzuda lachto klavim vechayotzim. I think chayotzim is a reference to schora. Ein tzor tefila. Shimon doesn't need tefila, but who is Shimon? I think this Shimon is the same Shimon in the Reisha, meaning he's the Shoel. And if you take a look in the Ramah, to Ramah at the end of this paragraph, he writes, "V'chein im lock im kano Yisrael hasheni min arishon." So now Reuven buys it from, excuse me, Shimon buys it from Reuven, and for the purpose of Suda, Tzorach Tvila Gabi Hashem. And he writes Beis Yosef. But I'm of the impression that not only is the Beis Yosef, but it's also the Machabel Shitoso is the same thing. So that's fascinating that there was a halamina in the mind of the Beis Yosef that Shimon is potter because Reuven, even though Shimon is the owner now, because Reuven's the Malabas, he's the one who bought it from the guy, and he didn't have in mind L'shem Su'u. Now, I wanted to point out to you a Pisrei Tshuva here. Do you have Pisrei Tshuva Vav? Os Vav?
Sure. Back a few pages.
Tzorech? Yes, ain't Tzorech Tzorech. So let me just give you a little background here. What happens in a Sakin Shel Shechita? Okay, so the Sefer that I started with has a whole discussion about a Sakin Shel Shechita. Okay. Just 1 second. Which chapter would it be in? Oh, Sugei Kelim HaChayovim B'Tvila. So he says, Ein Kli Chayav B'Tvila Ele Meiniach Olav Machal O Mashke B'Li Hefzei Kli Acher. Okay, that's number one. That's the direct negir between the food and the Kli. And then he writes, Kli HaMiyuad LaHachonas HaOchel Aval Adayin Tzorech HaOchel HaChonan Osefes. It's like a machshir de machshir, kidei latkino leachila, kigon kli lisha. Like you use it for kneading, so it's not red edible at this point. You're going to need to put the dough in the oven. Or matchenes basar. I guess he means a grinder for raw meat, right? Not a grinder for cooked meat or roasted meat. And then he writes sakin shel shechita. So according to one opinion, I'm not saying we all agree with this, a Sakin Shel Shechita doesn't need tefillah, and the Machaber here in Sif Hei says, Yesh Mishom Hashem Tzorach Tefillah. Why? Because it's too early in the process. Ramesh has a tshuva where he says, what if it's too late in the process? Meaning if the ochel is already edible, like he wants to say that if a toaster, you know, the old-fashioned toasters, most people now buy the toaster ovens, but the old-fashioned toasters, the bread that you put in is already baked, that it doesn't need tefillah. Only these new toasters, which are used for baking as well. Okay, I'm not sure he passes like that L'maisa, because I don't remember, but that was his svara. Now the Pisrei Tshuva wants to talk about a tshuva of the Shev Yaakov. What was the case of the Shev Yaakov? They used to have an oven, and they used to put a kli inside the oven and heat up the water in the kli. But what did they do with that hot water? They poured it into the dough in order to facilitate the lisha. So he says, Ein Tzorach Tefila Klal. So far, it's exactly what we saw in this Yesh Mishomer about Sakin Shal Shechita, because again, it's a Kli Lisha. Oh, but then he says, here's the Kiddush, Afilu Im Heim Shal Matechos, okay, fine. The Afal Pisha Lefa'amim Shofchim Imayim Chamin Shabolitei. In other words, let's say he doesn't have hot water for tea. He goes into this oven where there's this kli, and he takes out the hot water. He says, nevertheless, it doesn't need tefillah. Why? To be kolakom holchim akarov tashmisha. It all depends on the rov tashmisha. So I was wondering if this Shev Yaakov would argue on the Rambam. Let's go back to the Rambam, but let's read the Reisha of the Rambam. The Reisha of the Rambam says, Aval Rishon, right? The Rishon is the one who you have it in Sifches. The Rishon is Reuven who bought it for the purpose of cutting cards with it, right? Or I think in France and other countries they have a special knife to cut when you buy a book. You know the pages are pages are attached. He says Asal Ishtamish Bo Litzoche Suda Afilu Derech Haroi Below Tvil. He's not allowed to use it even haphazardly. Now I was wondering if we accept the Shev Yaakov that everything depends upon Rove, and you want to determine the nature of the Kli. Is this a Kli Suda? Well, occasionally it is used for Kli Suda, but most of the time it's used for something other than a Kli Suda. So he has designated this Kli for cutting up cards. Occasionally use it for Kli Suda. I thought it should be exactly like this Kli for hot water that occasionally use it for tea, but Rove Tashmisho not. He says, "Afal bishal lachol itzar klafim," and now he wants to use a biderach haroi on a singular, you know, a haphazard basis. Is he's chayv in tefila? And it could be a tremendous nafkamina between the Shev Yaakov and the Ramah in terms of whether you make a brach on this tefila. For example, if I want to be machmir like the Ramah against the Shev Yaakov, it's fine, tavol a bracha, but I don't think you can make a bracha. Why? Because since Rov Tashmisho is not as a Kli Suda, it's for l'chal achtav bo klofim.
How could the Shev Yaakov be cholik on the Ramah like this?
So I don't know what the riots are. We have to really do some research about Rov Tashmisho. I think he has a section here.
Rov Tashmisho makes sense.
But I'll tell you, I can only tell you that I don't know. I'm sure he has a piece on it. I can't right now. We're a little pressed for time, but we have 5 more minutes, so maybe we'll find it in here. But I'll tell you what I saw in the Aruch HaShulchan here in Kuf Chaf. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, and I should have photocopied it for you, but I can get it. It's on the shelf here. That there's a Kal Vachomer. What Kal Vachomer does he have? Very rare that you see an Akron come up with his own Kal Vachomer. He says the following. Let's say you have a Kli that is used for cooking, and occasionally you use it for grilling. You know, the difference being that if it's for bishul, it only needs hagol. Let's say you use it for chametz, the rest. But if it's libun, if it's alaish, you need libun. So what would you have said? Let's say most of the time he uses it as a cooking pot. Occasionally, in the minority of cases, 10% of the case, whatever it might be, he uses it for grilling. What would you say?
The halacha was a rov tashmisha, they say.
But intuitively, what would you say? You're right, but I'm just saying, what would be your svar dinafshe if you didn't?
Machmir, you take the one that's...
But why? Why? Why would you be machmir here? I think there's a definite logical reason why you'd be machmir here.
Because that's the way you get the tarfus out.
Exactly. No, your purpose is to get the blia out. So good, you got most of the blia out, but you still have part of the blia in. Your agola is not going to remove the blia out of the age. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, if there's a halach of rov tashmisho legabi blia, how much more so in a brand new kli which has no blia? And the question is, what kind of tefillah you need? Right, do you need tefillah? Do you not need tefillah? How much more so the Rov Tashmisho should certainly be koveah? If Rov Tashmisho is koveah for blia, then how much more so if there's not a din of blia at all? So I thought, Lefi Ani Yisdaiti, that there's a Pirch on the Kal Vachomer. It's a beautiful Shtikl Torah, the Aruch HaShulchan, and he wants to rewrite the text. He wants to assume that the Rama is only Machmir for this Arai case if initially when he bought the Kli, he had two functions in mind. But I'll tell you the truth, I'm not impressed with that, because look at the Rama's language. The Rama says, Afal Pisha Lachol Etzorach Klofin.
That's right.
But in any event, I thought that there's a shlug up to the Kal Vachomer of the Aruch HaShulchan. If the Kal Vachomer is in the Gemara, I would have the chutzpah, but a Kal Vachomer of the Aruch HaShulchan, maybe Kentzuk Dinkin, you know, you could argue with it. I say like this. The halacha of Hechsher Kelim is halacha of Matir. The Torah is going to tell me what Hechsher I need to be Matir in the use of the Kli. If I get rid of most of the Bli through our goal, the Torah says, we don't care about the rest. But that's a din in Matir. Here, what we're asking is a whole different question. We're asking about the shame Kli. Is it a Kli Tashmish, meaning a Kli Suda, or is it not a Kli Suda? It could very well be that in this case, if I use a Biderach HaRoy for Suda, that itself gives it a shame Kli Suda. There's no stira between the fact that it's a shame Kli, Legabi Chatichas Klofim, to cut cards, at the same time, it's a shame Kli, Legabi Suda. Both could be true about the Kli, they're not mutually exclusive. And therefore the miut is enough to be koveah and generate a shame Kli Suda, and therefore I need tefillah, the Rambam is right. You'll ask me about the Rov Tashmish al Yidei Chamin, but miut Tashmish al Yidei Aish? That's a whole different question. That's a question, which heter, which pu'ulas matir do I need as far as the Blias Iser is concerned? So I don't know, it sounds to me like he's in a sense equating, you know, apples and oranges, and I don't know if it's a fair thing. So let's just summarize what we covered tonight. I mean, we mamish covered a belt of different topics here regarding Tefillas Kelim. We spoke about the Pasuk Tavir Be'esh,
right.
We spoke about the Shem Kli, we spoke about disposable Kelim, and whether or not the Rambam's Halachim Perakei Mevchus Kelim, that it's not Makabal Tumah, is a separate halach in Kabbalah's Tumah, it's Hafkash and Kli. We spoke about when do you violate the Issur Tefillas Kelim, whether the Psak or Rav Zalman, that if you don't have access to a mikvah, then there's only an Issur Derabbanan to use the Kli, but it's certainly not Doraisa. But if you don't have access, it is Doraisa. We spoke about the sequence, whether or not we first have to have Hagolah and Libun, and only then Tefillah, or they're independent, and one doesn't depend on the other. We spoke about Ashol Kli, Mi Yehudi, and the first Yehudi bought it from a guy, and the Beis Yosef's Havamina, and the Beis Yosef's Maskana, and finally the Machlokas here, as to whether or not the Sheni is Chayev in Tefillah, if he borrowed it for the sake of the use of the Kli.
Are we going to go more into this? Or?
I'm not sure. You know, I don't... One thing I don't have is a what do they call it? A syllabus. Yeah. 5 minutes, something like
that.
A lesson plan. That's right. Right. Yeah, lesson. Yeah, go ahead.
We always had questions about tovel and dishes.
Yeah.
So the problem with tovel and dishes is the glazed part.
Ah. The glazed
part. Because earthenware doesn't require.
Right. You're talking about glazed earthenware?
Normal dishes are earthenware,
right,
with a glaze on top.
So the glazier, they don't need fuel.
Rav Moshe said they don't, but everybody is. So when I used to tell people,
Rav Alpert's opponent, Brock, I guess as a Talmud Rav Moshe, he saw my friend Alan Dubin on Bennett Avenue near the yeshiva. He saw him take his kelim, and he said to him, "Where are you going?" He says, "I'm going to the mikvah." So Rav Moshe laughed at him. He says, "You don't need tefillah."
Okay, that's what I thought.
And Rav Moshe's logic is very powerful. He says the following: the Gemara talks about kunya. Kunya was an earthenware kli that had a layer of lead on it, of oferis. He says that's not our glazed chinaware. Our glazed chinaware, what happens is that in the process of hardening the china, the clay. Did I get that word right? Clay, C-L-A-Y.
Right.
The clay, they pour in glass. It's not that there's a layer of glass on the kli. The reason why the Gemara wants tevila, mitzat safek, let's say in the case of kunya, is because you're eating off a layer of glass. Here, you have to decide what the kli is. And it's an earthenware kli. The glass is only used to strengthen the kli, but it's not a layer of glass on the kli. You know?
So even assuming there's a layer of glass, I mean, it's negligible, and it's a derabbanan.
When you say it's negligible, I don't know. That I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure what the shear
is.
I don't know if it's a shear or kedavin tilas etzba or what. But I think that the logic of Ramosha that it's a whole different manufacturing process than what the Gemara had in mind, that to me is very compelling. And I if you eat at my house, you'll have to be Simcha on Ramosha, because 90% of my kelim have not been taken to the mikvah.
I just remember
guys
who asked me, Toronto guys, you know, Zev Goldstein, and
Zev Goldstein,
he's the one you met.
Oh, sure. Send you regards. Yeah, he's a big fan of you.
And he's the one who asked me. And I said, but he says, everybody does it. I say, a whole Rav Moshe.
No, it's just funny because the way Alan tells the story, he says, Rav Alper laughed at him. You know, Rav Alper was a very serious Yerei Shamayim, you know. Okay, we'll stop.
I just remember taking our stuff as we were married. We lived in the dorms for a month before we came up to Canada. Lived in the Rav's apartment.
In the morgue.
And we took all our stuff to the ministry.
You see any chuckles there?
No, I didn't see chuckles there.